RJN AccuWeather forecast. Yesterday morning, we were looking at thunderstorms in the northern part of the state and said that they would probably dissipate, but if they didn't, they'd be here at lunchtime, and they didn't dissipate, and they were here at lunchtime. Another round came in later. For today, it looks like a dry one. We're expecting afternoon temperature around 87. When I say dry, I mean no rain, not that it will be less humid. It's going to be stuffy. Going down to 70 tonight, then tomorrow, clouds, some sunshine, very warm and humid. It could be a thunderstorm or two, the high 87. And Sunday is probably going to be a little hotter. It could be a thunderstorm in the morning, then partly sunny, high 92. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Elliot Abrams on your radio friend, AM 1400, WRJN.
Thank you, EA. Right now it's 87 degrees in Kenosha. Burlington's reporting mostly sunny and 84. It is 88 at Mitchell Field in Milwaukee. And here at Racine at WRJN, it's mostly sunny, 87 degrees, the dew point is at 71 degrees, the relative humidity at 58%. The winds are variable at 3 miles an hour, and the barometric pressure is steady as she goes at 30.03. And good afternoon. It is 11 minutes after 1 o'clock.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
And that number to call, the attorneys, including John Cabranes and Shanaz Lakdawala, is area code 262-634-WRJN, 262-634-9756. Welcome in to the Cabranes Law Hour. How are you, attorneys?
Good, thank you.
Just peachy.
I thought you were living La Vida Loco.
Well, that was last week. This week, we're in a grove.
Now, I pulled in, Shanaz, to the parking lot right behind Attorney Cabranes, and he noticed my Chicago Cubs car magnet, and he gave me guff right off the bat. Not a big Cubs fan, are you?
No, never. Baseball, I grew up
as a Mets fan, right?
As a huge Mets fan.
Yeah.
So, and that's back when the Cubs and the Mets were in the same division. My most satisfying moment was in 1969 when the Mets won it all.
Yeah. That scarred me for life.
I'm sure they did, because they came from behind to take the Cubs out.
Cubs were running away with it. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people think that the Cubs collapsed in 1969, but that's not the truth.
The Mets picked it up.
The Mets played like 700 ball in September.
It was insane.
The Miracle Mets.
Yeah.
Tom Seaver.
Jerry Kuzman. That was before Matlock, but Nolan Ryan was on that team. Tug McGraw was the closer on that team.
Ed Cranepool.
The original Met, Cranepool. Yeah. You bet. Yeah.
Who was the manager?
Gil Hodges was the manager in 1969.
He's a Mets fan.
Oh, yeah.
Came in, though, Shanaz, wearing his Los Angeles Kings hockey hat.
That's right.
Because that must have been during your time in California.
You betcha. Became a Kings fan in 1977 and suffered through many, many, that I say many, disappointing years until we won 2 Stanley Cups in 3 years.
Jonathan Quick, great goaltender.
Tremendous goaltender.
Jerry Desjardins.
That's right.
It was the great Kings goalie when I was a kid.
Back in, that would have been early 70s.
I had the old school purple Kings sweater with the crown on it, kind of like the one that's on your hat.
Yeah.
It's a great look. I think that they should go with that logo all the time, just the crown.
Well, they have it as a third jersey because, you know, a lot of these sports teams, they like to suck the money out of your wallet. So what they do is they have their regular uniforms, and then they have the alternate uniforms, which they manage to charge you a couple hundred bucks for. So, you know, to love a team is to sometimes spend money on garbage.
How many times have you been to the Staples Center to watch a game?
Since the Staples Center opened, I've only been there once. But I used to have season seats at the old Forum. So we used to go, my dad and I, and we used to go and watch Rogie Vachon and Marcel Dion, the Triple Crown line, and some lesser known individuals who will always be part of the Kings lore.
Do you ever get down to the United Center to see them play the Blackhawks?
Oh yeah, absolutely. And there's nothing I like better than to give grief to the fans when I'm up. But then I have to be ready to die by that sword too, because they've lost their fair share at the United Center too.
Do you remember the old Blackhawk star Jeremy Roenick?
Sure, he was a former King, and
that's right.
While he was with the King, he came to the Kings right after the strike that cost him the season, and he was out of shape and he had a bad attitude, and most King fans can't stand the sight of Jeremy Roenick.
Well, he's a very emotional guy. You've got a tune to WRJN. This is Glenn Klein. We're talking with former Chicago Blackhawks star and current NHL television analyst Jeremy Roenick. So why'd you get so emotional when you were covering on television the Blackhawks' first Stanley Cup championship?
It's literally practice every day, sweat every day, bleed every day. There's an amazing amount of dedication that goes into winning a championship and to celebrate it at the end of the season. If you love the game like I do and you don't get emotional, then I would question how much you really wanted it.
Who will emote to him next? Glenn Klein, middays on your radio friend, WRJN.
Not a big Roenick fan, are you?
No, not a big Roenick fan. I mean, he was a good player. I'll give the devil his due, but he was a good player when he was younger. He played beyond the period of time when he should have just basically hung him up, and he, especially for Kings fans, he left us all with a bad taste in our mouth.
Undoubtedly the number one Los Angeles King fan in Southeast Wisconsin, he is attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office. We also have attorney Shanaz Lakdawala. We could talk hockey all day, but we're here to take your calls on any legal matter that you might be thinking about or facing. That number to call is 634-WRJN, 634-9756, 634-9756. It's coming up to 18 minutes after 1 o'clock on this Friday, July 22nd. What have you learned about competing as an attorney from sports, or specifically hockey?
Never give up. I never give up. The you know, all criminal cases start off the same way. They start off with a criminal complaint, and in that criminal complaint, they don't put anything good about your client. And so what winds up happening is that you get the criminal complaint and it just looks bad. It's like being down, you know, to talk hockey or to talk basketball. It's being down in the third period or the fourth quarter. And then you start doing your work. I had a friend of mine who used to say, and I've stolen that saying from him, and I'm sure he stole it from somebody else, you got to be like a duck, cool, calm, and collected on the surface and paddling like heck underneath.
Like an Anaheim duck?
Well, no. but, you know, and that's what we do. It's like being a plumber. You just keep going at it. Sometimes you turn up something really helpful. Sometimes you don't turn up much that's particularly helpful. But you know, the effort's got to be there, because the system depends on everybody doing their job. My job, criminal defense attorney's job, is to force the government to do theirs. Okay, and you know, in a perfect world, okay, if you looked at a perfect world, everybody who gets arrested is guilty. And I know we got a call, and I'll get to it in a second, but let me just finish the thought. Everybody who gets arrested in a perfect world is guilty. But we don't live in a perfect world. And innocent people get arrested. Innocent people get charged. And so, you know, the only way that you basically can get in there and do what you need to do to demonstrate to a jury of this person's peers that he is not guilty is if you do your job. And so, you know, that's the philosophy of our firm. We do our job and force the state to do theirs.
He is attorney John Cabranes. We also have associate attorney Shanaz Lakdawala. You've got to tune to the Cabrera's Law Hour. We're taking your calls about the law at 634-WRJN. That's 634-9756. Caller, you are on the air with the attorneys.
Yeah, hi.
Hi. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I got a question for you. I had surgery, and then I got infected. Did you let me out too soon? And now they're talking about they got to take one of my testicles out. Is there some way I can sue them for that?
Well, if it was their fault,
Well, I could tell the doctor when after I had my surgery, and then on Monday and on Thursday, I said, you know, my testicles are too swollen. And he sent me home with no antibiotics, no nothing. Then I went back on a Saturday, and he readmitted me for another 6 days. Okay. And then now I went to the doctor yesterday, and he said they had to take one of my testicles out.
Okay, well, the medical malpractice, which is what you're talking about, is a fact-specific case. And you got to take a look at all of the medical reports. You got to take a look at a lot of information. And honestly, you also have to hire somebody, an expert, as a lawyer I'm talking about, not you.
Although
you eventually wind up paying for it at some point. But as a lawyer, you have to hire an expert to tell you that this was not an acceptable way of handling the case.
Well, the doctor told me that there's a 1-2% ever to happen.
Well, and that may be, and it could be that, you know, something happened that's...
Well, my stomach did reopen it because I had a stomach surgery, and then I got an infection in my stomach, then I got an infection in my testicles. Well, so I had two different infections.
Well, I mean, hospitals are a place where people get infections, that's the hospital's responsibility, to be perfectly honest with you. Now, we don't do medical malpractice, but if you give the office a call, and I would suggest you do it on Monday, if you give the office a call, I'll be happy to give you a couple of names of some firms who do medical malpractice. Yeah, but let me just finish this thought for a second. Not everybody does medical malpractice, because as I just outlined to you, you got to get medical records. Medical records are expensive because you're going to pay about $1 a page to get these records. On top of that, you got to hire an expert to give you an opinion as to whether you even have a case. And the last time I had to hire a cardiologist about 15 years ago to give me an opinion on a case. It was a drug-induced heart attack. I had to hire a cardiologist to do that. Just to get the opinion, it was $5,000. Okay, and so what I'm trying to convey to you is that there aren't a lot of firms in the state of Wisconsin that do medical malpractice, and the reason for it is you got to have a big enough firm so that you have because they usually work on a contingency basis, and so you've got, as an attorney, you're footing the bill until you resolve the case. And I can tell you from talking to people who do this kind of work, that they lose 6 out of every 10 cases. It's those 4 out of those 10 that pay for everything else. Okay, and so they're very picky about which cases they're going to take. And if they take your case, they're taking the case because they think you've got a good case, a meritorious case, and they're willing to spend the money on it. If you want to give the office a call on Monday, 262-638-0529, I'll repeat that for you, 262-638-0529, I'll be happy to give you a couple of names, and you can call them.
Okay, can I get a pencil and paper real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hold on, please.
Attorney Cabranes, do any of these firms that you work with, do they do a free consultation like you do?
Most people who do contingency work do. Rarely do you see contingency, like, for example, contingency firms are...
Okay, what's the number again?
262-638-0529.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right,
you're welcome.
Good luck, bro.
Most people who do contingency work want to get the case in. And the typical example of contingency firms are people who do personal injury work. If you've been in a car accident, you've been hurt in a car accident, you see them all over the TV, you hear them on the radio all the time. Those people generally want, they make their money, in a lot of cases, by volume. And so they, you know, they don't want to scare you off by charging you a couple hundred bucks or 300 bucks, whatever it is, to give you that initial consultation. They'll give you the free consultation, and hopefully they're the first ones, because usually the first one that you call is the one that you give the business to in those kind of situations. So they want to be the first one that you talk to, and if they give you a if they're charging you a consultation fee, you're probably going to go somewhere else and talk to somebody who is giving you a free consultation. In our situation, you know, we've given a free consultation from basically day one. And the reason for it is, I don't know what I can do for you until I talk to you. And I've always hesitated to charge somebody, you know, a couple of hundred bucks for an hour's consultation, and then say to the person, you know, honestly, there's not a whole lot I can do for you. So I'd much rather give you some time, sit down with you, talk to you about it. If I can help you, then we'll talk about money. If I can't help you, at least you've talked to an attorney, you've gotten an opinion. And I got to tell you, you get three attorneys in the room, sometimes you get three separate opinions. Okay, so you know, I always recommend that you talk to somebody else. If the opinion I give you is not to your liking, talk to somebody else. I encourage that. You may find somebody to give you a different opinion. You know, I caution you to be careful with that, because some people will give you an opinion so they can get into your wallet, and then all of a sudden, you know, halfway through the case, it becomes a less meritorious case than they thought when you hired them, and then they're out the door.
But if it's a contingency, there's not much risk there for the person bringing the suit, is there?
Well, when you're saying person bringing the suit, are you talking about the attorney or are you talking about the lawyer?
The attorney or lawyer? The person
you mean
who...
the attorney or the client?
I mean, the attorney or the client?
For the client.
Oh, yeah. If look, you hire an attorney on a contingency basis. Generally speaking, when the attorney takes the case, and I have a couple of friends that do personal injury work, and I'm sure one or both of them will be in here at some point to tell you about, you know, what they do. But, you know, when they take these cases, what they do is they'll take the case and then they'll investigate the case. And if they can make a determination that you've got a good case, they'll continue with the case. At some point, they may say, you know what, this case has a lot more complications than we originally thought. Maybe there's more liability on your part. Because one of the things you got to remember is that Wisconsin's a comparative liability state. And so when you get into an accident, what the insurance companies are going to do, what the judges are going to do if you go to trial, what juries are going to do, is they're going to determine how much fault did you have. And then they will deduct that from the award. So let's say they say you had 40% of the fault in the accident. It's a tenth, let's use a number of 10,000 because it's easily divisible. And that means that you may get a $10,000 judgment, but they're going to take 40% off the top of that, because 40% of that was your fault. So instead of 10, you're going to get 6. And you're going to split that 6 with your lawyer after he pays all of the bills. Now the kicker to that is, if you have 50.1% of the fault, and they don't deduct 50.1% from the $10,000, you just don't get anything because you had the bulk of the fault. So, and most of these guys don't know that, don't know what the specific facts are when you hire them. And they're going to investigate the case. And as they investigate the case, they can start making determinations. How much liability do you have in this? And then they can make a determination whether they're going to continue with the case and then start spending their money, start spending some serious money in prosecuting your case.
He is attorney John Cabranes. We have also attorney Shanaz Lakdawala. They are with the Cabranes Law Office in beautiful Racine, Wisconsin. This is the Cabranes Law Hour on WRJN. It's coming up to 1:30. We're taking your calls. We're taking all your legal questions at 634-WRJN, 634-9756. After the great Tom Carco comes by with our WRJN news block, make your phone call now, 634-WRJN, 634-9756. Tom Carcu is next with the news, weather, and sports.
Hi, I'm Congressman Paul Ryan. After the terrorist attacks in Orlando and San Bernardino,
antioxidant that kills pre-existing cancer cells and prevents abnormal cells from forming. The next cancer-fighting food, onions. If you were to eat 1/4 of a yellow onion a day, it would reduce your overall cancer risk by over 80%. Why? The vegetable's yellow tint is a sign that it's rich in cancer-fighting phytochemicals. One more cancer-fighting food, watermelon. Experts say eating this fruit regularly helps shield you from skin cancer. In fact, German research suggests that eating a 1-inch slice every day can slash your risk of sun damage by 40%. John Tesh with today's Intelligence for Your Life Minutes.
Time now on WRJN for a sponsored conversation with Attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Attorney Cabranes is here to talk about and answer legal questions. For 20 years, Cabranes Law Office in Racine has specialized in traffic law, including OWIs, immigration, family law, and criminal defense issues. And now John Cabranes is here on WRJN to talk with you, our listeners. In a few moments, we'll be giving you the number if you'd like to call in.
And the Cabranes Law Hour is brought to you by the Cabranes Law Offices, LLC. No attorney-client relationship is being created. This show is intended to provide legal information and not legal advice. The attorneys have neither the time or the information during the show to fully review your particular legal issue. Be aware that in some cases, time limits may apply in the prosecution of your case, and you should seek legal assistance as soon as possible. Cabranes Law Offices, LLC makes no representation that the information provided today has specific application to your particular issue. But you can ask any question that you want of attorneys John Cabranes and Shanaz Lakdawala of the Cabranes Law Office. The number to call is 634-WRJN. That's 634-9756. It's 19 minutes now until 2 o'clock on Friday afternoon. So give us a call with any legal issue that you're thinking about. 634-WRJN. That's 634-9756. We were talking about personal injury cases before the news with the great Tom Carcu. What's the largest amount that you've ever seen assigned to somebody who won a case?
I know personal injury. Never have done personal injury. I can't really speak directly to that. I do know that I had a friend of mine over at Becker French and DeMatthew, in fact, Tom Durkin, who I referred a case to. It was a tough case because there wasn't any insurance available through the guy. It was a car accident, and he got killed in a car accident. The other side had a really minimal insurance, probably, I think, $25,000 or something like that. And I'll tell you, Tom Durkin did a heck of a job on that because he went through the guy was a former client of mine. His wife came to see me when he got killed. He went through my former client's insurance policy and found the loophole in that policy, which paid $500,000. Paid the widow of my client $500,000. Now, there are plenty of other, I mean, you get on TV and you see all these firms saying, you know, we got $1 million, we got $10 million for our clients and things like that. I mean, that's fine, but that's, not doing that kind of work. That's the closest I've come to one of those. And honestly, if you have a personal injury case, and you're in need of an assessment, honestly, you can come to me. I'm not going to help you because that's not what I do. But I can certainly I have a network of referrals that I can give you some names.
Well, that's a help.
Yeah, I mean, I can give you some names of people I know do a good job. That's important because the problem is some of the big names in personal injury, and we won't mention those names, but some of the big names in personal injury, what they'll do is I had a friend of mine who worked for one of these individuals. What they do is they take these cases in, and they try to settle them as quickly as possible. And, you know, the reality is that personal injury cases are going to take a little while. And if you're too anxious to settle the case, as a general rule, and the same thing really applies in all other aspects of negotiating in any kind of legal matter, if you're too anxious to resolve the case, you're never going to get your best deal. And so you have to come at it in a situation of, I'm perfectly prepared to try the case, let the other side know that you're perfectly prepared to try the case, and then negotiations begin on somewhat of an even footing. But unfortunately, in personal injury, since we're dealing in some cases, a lot of money, there's a big incentive to get rid of that case as quickly as possible, and sometimes they leave money on the table.
At the beginning of the Cabranes Law Hour, Attorney John Cabranes compared being an attorney to being a plumber or a hockey player, where the perseverance is just day after day after day. And you also talked about when you take things on contingency, it's the law firm that has to foot the bill. And Shanaz, do you ever see the movie Erin Brockovich?
No, I did not see
that movie. That's with Julia Roberts. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember the attorney's name in there. Albert Brooks? No. He was great.
Yeah, I think it was Albert Brooks.
And that was a massive personal injury case that took years. What's the longest case you've ever worked on, Shanaz?
The longest case, probably 4 months. A lot of the cases go on for a couple of months. I mean, we don't just finish them off right away. There's a process that goes on in the court system, and even a criminal traffic case can take up to like 4 months till you get into the last date, see the judge, and, you know, resolve the matter.
Well, you can start the process right now, even though, as we said, this is not particularly legal advice, but you can start the relationship building process with John Cabranes and Shanaz Lakdawalla of the Cabranes Law Offices. Just give them a call right now at 634-WRJN, 634-9756. It's Friday afternoon. We're taking your call, 634-WRJN, 634-9756. So yesterday, Roger Ailes, the chairman of Fox News, resigned. And it was under the cloud and suspicion of sexual harassment by a woman named Gretchen Carlson, who used to host a program in the afternoons on Fox News.
A former Miss America.
A former Miss America. She used to be on Fox and Friends, and then she got her own program in the afternoons. They didn't renew her contract. And when they didn't, she accused Ailes of sexual harassment. And they did an investigation, Fox News did, and he resigned yesterday. Now, if you are an organization, a company, and you have somebody that resigns in that kind of situation, what happens next legally?
Well, I mean, here's the situation. You are not necessarily held as an employer. You are not necessarily held responsible for the sexual harassment of your employees, between employees, unless you know what's happening. Okay, and so what happens is this, and this is why Fox News did the investigation, because what winds up happening is person A sexually harasses person B. Person B has an obligation to let somebody higher up the food chain know what's going on, or just make human services, human resources aware that, you know, this is going on. That then shifts the responsibility to the company to do something about it. Now, if you sit back and you do nothing about it, then you get these big lawsuits, and that can be problematic. But, you know, to go after the company itself, the company has to know that it's going on, and has to not only know what's going on, but essentially tacitly approve what's going on by virtue of doing nothing to stop it.
It's really a very interesting case, because apparently Gretchen Carlson did not complain about it until she wasn't renewed.
Yeah, and not only that, but she apparently spoke very highly of Roger Ailes and wrote, I think she had a book that she put out in which she referred to him as a mentor, and she spoke very highly of him. But, you know, that's kind of the stupid position that you put yourself in as a boss. I mean, you know, your place of work is not your own private fishing pond, okay? You know, if you're looking for women or you're looking for men, you know, the workplace is probably not the best place to do that. Because, you know, even if everybody in the beginning is on board and there's full consent on both parties, sooner or later there's going to be a problem in that relationship.
You think?
Yeah. And so then the problem then becomes, you know, you got one person, and I'm not going to say this is what happened because I don't know the facts, but, you know, it sure seems to me like she was holding the hammer over his head. And finally, at some point, for whatever reason, Roger Ailes decided that he wasn't going to renew the contract. And that's when she brought the hammer down on him. And, you know, you look at Roger Ailes. He's an older guy. He probably didn't have that much more time left to go at Fox News anyway. And I'm sure that as an exit package from Fox News, he worked himself out a heck of a deal to go out in retirement. So we'll see what happens with Gretchen Carlson now.
Can you say settlement?
I think that there may be something there, but I think that also depends on who knew what and when, mm-hmm. Because I don't think that's all entirely clear cut.
How'd you meet your husband, Shanaz? At work?
No, I met him in New York when he came out to visit some family there.
And how long have you been married?
It's June 6th is 1 year.
Oh,
yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How long have you been married, John?
I have been married 16 years. It'll be 16 years in October.
Why you say like that?
Because I'm married, and I've been married for 16 years. No, in all seriousness, I mean, you know, married people do not make the best advertisement for their product. But I love my wife. She's great. I couldn't imagine going through life without her at this point. I joke when I make comments like that, it's my twisted sense of humor. But you know, there are people who are involved in these marriages who've been married for, you know, much less than 16 years that every day is a living hell. And you know, if it gets that bad, get out.
Well, they figured out the number one cause of divorce. Marriage,
yeah, you bet.
You do divorces?
We do divorces, yeah. at the firm, yeah. I started out as a divorce lawyer, actually, 20 years ago. I remember that I think it was, in fact, it was my first divorce, the woman, this is 1990, must have been 97, woman came out of the courthouse. She had this big, huge bag, you know, the purse-type bags. And she came out of the courthouse after she'd been granted her divorce. She reaches into the bag and pulls out this huge bottle of champagne and pops it right on the steps of the Racine County Courthouse and started drinking right out of the bottle. Last time I saw her, she was walking down the street swigging from that bottle.
She could have got arrested for that.
Yeah. I'm sure she could.
And then you could have defended her right there.
I made a couple more bucks.
He is attorney and the very well-humored John Cabranes from the Cabranes Law Office, as well as Shanaz Lakdawala. You've got to tune to WRJN 7 minutes until 2 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. We still time to get in and have your legal question asked of the attorneys. The number 634-WRJN. That's 634-9756. Get on the phone, 634-WRJN, 634-9756. Well, after Donald J. Trump received his nomination yesterday and accepted it and gave his speech, apparently he was in court today defending himself in the Trump University case. Now, Trump has famously said that he doesn't settle these cases. From a legal standpoint and a legal strategy, why wouldn't he?
Well, because there's a cost to litigation, you know, you can dig in your heels. You know, he's the defendant, so you have an obligation as the plaintiff, the person who's suing Donald Trump, to bring a legitimate case, and you bear the burden of proof. And so he can sit back, he's got plenty of money, he can sit back, defend, and essentially make people who are suing him foot the bill on their discovery requests and on the process that goes. Now, you know, that may or may not, depending on how it shakes out for Mr. Trump down the line, that may or may not cost him some money in the end, but apparently he's not concerned about that. He's just making litigation difficult. There used to be, it's mostly illegal now, there used to be a term called a slap suit. And that's if I didn't like something that you said to me, I would just turn around and sue you. Okay, and what that used to do, what the purpose of a slap suit was essentially to shut you up, okay, because you'd be so scared that you would have to, get into litigation and spend all kinds of money just defending yourself, that you would just desist. Well, this is kind of like the reverse of the slap suit. You don't resolve these cases, and you just fight it out. But the truth is, he can say anything he wants about he doesn't settle these cases. But the record is really clear that in other cases that he's had, in cases of housing discrimination and failing to pay people the proper wages and things like that, where he says he doesn't settle these cases, he has settled those cases. So I suspect that this case will eventually be settled. I don't think he can afford to settle the case now in the middle of the campaign, because I can guarantee you that the moment that he settles the case, the other side, whoever the other side may be, is going to be screaming that, you see, he's admitted to committing fraud. And so he's not settling this, at least not till November.
And it won't be settled till before November anyway.
Yeah. No, not a chance.
When you have, and putting politics and Donald Trump aside, when you have a large company like he has, how rare is it for a company or an individual, a CEO, for example, not to be sued a lot by people that they've done business with?
Well, every company eventually gets sued. I mean, it's you're in business. I can only speak for myself. We try to have 100% customer satisfaction. We really do. And we bend over backwards. Even go beyond some of the things that we contracted with clients to do, to make sure that they're happy. But honestly, you can't, you have, regardless of how hard you try, there are some people you just cannot please. Some people who, just the nature of the beast, when you get into litigation, somebody's going to win and somebody's going to lose. And so if you happen to be on the losing side, you're going to have an unhappy client. Sometimes, they recognize you did everything you could do for me, and I really do appreciate that, and we get that. But sometimes they're just ticked off because they just lost. So, and that's more common in civil cases, divorce cases, for example, loss of custody or placement, or, you wanted the house and your wife got it, things like that. They get upset. And in a lot of cases, they need somebody to blame. And we live in a society where, I as an individual am blameless. So if I got hosed, somebody else did it to me. There are some legitimate gripes that people might have with companies, because let's face it, not every company strives to take care of their clients, and so companies get sued. Normally speaking, however, it's not the CEOs of the companies that get sued. The reason that I think Donald Trump got sued, and I'm not involved in that lawsuit, I have no direct information on this, but I suspect that the reason that Donald Trump got sued is because A, it had his name on it, and B, he went around saying that he had hired the finest staff, after attending Trump U, you could do what I do, and things like that. And he was going out there, and he made some representations which turned out to be false. And I think, and again, I don't know anything about this case other than what I've heard on the media, but I would suspect that what they're, the gist of this case, not only is fraud, but probably a breach of warranty, in that he basically made some guarantees that certain things were going to happen, and they didn't happen.
He is attorney John Cabranes. This is the Cabranes Law Hour on WRJN. We're also having Shanaz Lakhdawala, who's attorney at the Cabranes Law Office. Got any big plans this weekend?
No plans.
No plans.
No plans. My husband's away for the weekend, so I'm just going to be by myself enjoying life.
What do you do for fun?
Well, I know the Italian fest is going on this weekend.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in the summers, usually just go out for walks, you know, restaurants, music, stuff like that.
Old-timer softball tournament is this weekend.
Oh.
At Horlick Park. Should go to that.
Yeah, watch people break a hip running third.
and have a card ready to go. You can call the Cabranes Law Offices at 638-0529 for a free consultation. That's area code 262-638-0529. And we will get to do it all over again next week. Thanks so much, you guys.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Our pleasure.
This has been a sponsored conversation with attorney John Cabranes of the Cabranes Law Office in Racine. Get your questions ready and tune in again next Friday afternoon at 1 o'clock for your chance to call in right here on your radio friend WRJN.
Your radio friend is AM 1400 WRJN, Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, a Magnum.media station.
Special report, shooting in Germany. Police in Munich, Germany say a terror attack is suspected following shooting sprees in possibly two locations. Correspondent Will Ripley.
The Olympia Mall is on the northwest side of Munich, but this second location is in the city center, and police said that there is a very large operation happening there right now. We know that subway service has been disrupted, bus service has been disrupted.
Eyewitness.